we're gonna have these lighted mushrooms. Those look awesome. And then we're gonna have trees, balloon trees.
The story behind a big night for the class of 2011. And even bird watchers have marathons. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Anna Jacobson. Those stories and more up next.
It's a busy, grueling few weeks for the panel that'll have a big say in which state legislators run for re-election next year. The Alaska Redistricting Board is in the middle of a two-week public hearing process. They're taking comments on the draft legislative boundary maps they released last month and other suggested maps submitted by municipalities and interest groups. As the public sounded off in urban centers late last month, Chairman John Torgerson said the board's initial focus was rural Alaska.
One of its first actions was to formally state their intentions, or our intentions, of drafting a plan that included 9 Alaska Native influenced districts. This was done to comply with the Voting Rights Act's requirements of avoiding retrogression when drafting new redistricting plans. Retrogression is drawing a district or a redistricting plan in a manner that worsens minority voting strength as compared to the last plan that we were under.
The panel has split up into two-person teams to take the public comments in several rural communities simultaneously. They traveled to Delta Junction, Nome, Unalaska, Kotzebue, Tok, and Cold Bay. Then it was on to Bethel and Glen Allen and Galena and Barrow. And now they're in Southeast. The Upperland Canal gets their turn at the podium Wednesday. Skagway from 9 to 11 a.m. at Assembly Chambers and Haines from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Public Library. Then a statewide teleconference is planned for all day May 6th. After that, the board will work on a final map redrawing legislative boundaries. They have until June 13th to finish it. Juneau had their hearing at the end of last month. Keep the distinct character of each of Juneau's House districts, and don't let the Panhandle's smaller communities get swallowed up by the Big Three. Those were just some of the sentiments expressed during that public hearing in Juneau on the preliminary maps produced by the redistricting board. The maps, at least 3 variations for Southeast, are just draft plans for how legislative districts may be redrawn for the next 10 years. Regardless of which map is selected, Southeast is expected to go from 5 House seats to 4. That's largely because of stagnant or declining population in rural areas and explosive growth in the Mat-Su. Under the board's proposed maps, former Juneau Assemblymember Errol Champion says smaller communities could be overwhelmed by the power wielded by larger towns.
Sitka is going to become the big fish in a small pond with either one of your plans. It'll become down to Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka that'll dominate the election of our representatives. And I don't think truly those plans will meet the Alaska Native Voting Rights Act, which is mandated by our federal judicial system.
More information and suggested maps can be found on the Redistricting Board website at www.akredistricting.org.
Imagine you are in a jungle, a rainforest, almost another world. It is nighttime and you are surrounded by a waterfall, hanging green vines, balloon trees, big blooming flowers, and colorful mushrooms. Where are you at? Haines High School's 2011 prom.
Prom is going to be amazing this year, and we're also excited.
Elizabeth Busk-Stevens is a member of this year's prom committee at the Haines High School. The entire junior class is in charge of putting on the event, but the prom committee is a group of students that work especially hard on organizing the high school's biggest dance of the year.
The prom committee makes sure everything gets done, but the whole junior class helps, and anybody who isn't busy in their periods can help.
Prom is a lot of fun.
Frankie Jones has kids who attend Haines High School. She's been helping organize the high school's prom for many years.
I love working with the kids. And, of course, every group is different, and sometimes you have to figure out what the vision is for each group. Some of the groups want a certain thing that I have to keep asking questions to find out what they're after.
Frankie says each year her goal is to help the kids make it their best prom ever.
I feel like that's part of my challenge, is to give every junior class the opportunity to have the best prom that's ever been at their school. And so they all feel like they had the best prom or went to the best prom.
The theme of prom had been a discussion since last year. Kids wanted something to do with a rainforest or a jungle theme.
Last year we started thinking about it, thinking jungle would just be a sweet, fun theme, and then our class decided on jungle. And it was mostly a class vote, and it wasn't a secret either, so the whole school was like giving their opinions and stuff. And so jungle would be fun.
However, only recently was a name for prom actually agreed on.
It's called Phosphorescent Forest, And basically, it's a nighttime scene of a living landscape that comes alive at night.
Devin Broughton is a high school junior, also on the prom committee.
We're going to have flowers, purple flowers, that will go along the outsides of the gym. We're going to have these lighted mushrooms. Those look awesome. And then we're going to have trees, balloon trees.
The students are excited about some very unique decorations that will make an appearance at this year's Phosphorescent Forest Prom.
There's a waterfall, which is going to be sweet. Mm-hmm. There's columns, mushrooms. It's a whole bunch of just green and blue.
It is a tradition at Haynes High School that the junior class puts on prom, and senior Abby Jones describes what putting on the dance was like last year.
I think it was a fun experience. Our class all came together and did it together, so it's something that we did as a group that we haven't done in a long time.
Abby was used to seeing the excitement of preparation because of all the years of watching her mom, Frankie. However, she fondly remembers her first prom.
My freshman year, I was kind of like, ooh, prom, I'm excited to go. But my mom's put on prom since I was like in second grade, so I've been to a lot of proms. But I was kind of excited that it was my first time, and I had a fun date and really good dinner, and it was in a nice location, so it was just a lot of fun.
High school students agree that the big dance can be fun no matter what, as long as you have the right attitude.
Junior year, I actually was really excited for prom because just decided to get excited and have fun no matter what. I just had fun because I just danced the whole time with my friends, and it was just a good time to be with the high school all as a group out of school.
Prom is on the same Saturday as a Haynes track meet, and the two events signify that the end of the school year is near, and for seniors, the end of their high school career.
And this year, I'm really excited about prom. It's my last one, so I'm going to have fun. And I'm excited for the last experience of a track meet and prom. It signifies the end of school, and I guess the end of my high school career, so I'm going to embrace it no matter what.
Haynes High School's Phosphorescent Forest Prom is on Saturday, May 7th, in the middle school gym from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m., Parents who have kids in the junior class are encouraged to help set up starting on Thursday, May 5th.
Prom is going to be awesome.
For KHNS, I'm Anna Jacobson.
How many types of migratory birds do you come across in the span of one whole day? The fox sparrow, American robin, ruby-crowned kinglets, varied thrush, rufous hummingbird, hermit thrush, pygmy owl, and golden crown sparrow. Well, that's eight right there. Your number might win you a prize by the end of the week in the annual Birdathon.
Originally, Birdathon was developed by the Audubon Society as a fundraiser.
Pam Randles is with the Tuck Chinook Watershed Council, which is turning the Birdathon into a fundraiser that'll help put a scientific station here someday.
We have been doing it as a data collection piece because things are changing in this area about migratory birds. But also, we are looking to build a bird observatory in Haynes. So we've turned this into a fundraiser to help us buy bird banding equipment.
The future observatory would act as an educational facility for school kids to interact with live birds and a banding station for biologists to tag migrating birds that come through the Northern Lynn Canal.
Primarily migratory songbirds is what we're looking at because birds are very good indicators of climate change because they use a large piece of the planet. They go from one place to another. And we don't have very many observatories in Alaska. In fact, there's only two.
The station in Fairbanks, for example, gets birds from all over North America and parts of Central and South America.
And they don't know which ones are coming from the eastern U.S. and which ones are coming from the Pacific and the Pacific Ocean islands as well. And if we put a bird observatory here, we can help divide that out.
A station here would allow access to a whole different range of migratory species from Australia, New Zealand, Pacific Islands, and Asia. Alternatively, the Yukon observatories usually get birds from eastern and central U.S. The data could help explain some of the drastic changes that local bird watchers have charted.
The mountain bluebirds used to be rare. Now they come every year. The western tanagers were never here. Now they come and nest. The Eurasian collared doves were never here until 2 years ago, and now they're coming all the time. So we are seeing those changes, but in order to understand what's going on, we need to document it.
So back to the Birdathon, which will help make the observatory happen. The Watershed Council in Haynes is sponsoring the event and has been for about 7 years. The idea is to track migratory birds who make Skagway or the Chilkat Valley home for part of the year. And the count happens with the help of local bird watchers, who count up how many types of migratory birds they see over the course of 24 hours.
And what we're trying to do, again, is keep track of migratory birds as they come in. What kinds of migratory birds, not numbers like the Christmas count, but which species are coming through as migrators. And we compare year to year.
There are four categories for the birdathon: kids teams, adult teams, individuals, and businesses.
And by businesses, we're thinking primarily of the guiding services, the people who need to know about the different types of birds. And so we'd like to set up a little competition between, say, AMG Chilcat Guides, Nature Tours, Rainbow Glacier Tours, and see whose guides can get the most different kinds of birds. And again, this is about different kinds of birds, not numbers.
Prizes are awarded for all categories at a campfire party on Sunday, May 8th at Portage Cove Beach in Haines. To participate, pick up a bird checklist, sponsor sheet, and instructions at the Watershed Council office, or call them from Skagway or Haines to have the material sent.
You can go anywhere in the Upper Lynn Canal, Taya Inlet, Farabee Valley, on the water, up to the border, wherever you want to go. And what you're trying to do is collect the number of different species, as many as you possibly can in 24 hours.
The Watershed Council is located above the Rusty Compass on Main Street in Haines. Their phone number is 766-3542.
This is Anna Jacobson reporting for KHNS. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.